Sean, I'll ask you. You've listened to more than a couple episodes. Is the heavy metal intro, is that douchey or okay? Or
I like it a lot.
Okay, good.
I really do.
I wanted an outside perspective. I like the energy level of the song,
yep.
But I don't like when radio shows do like a 5-minute intro. It's like, this is all Pavlov's dog crap. You know, mm-hmm. You're like, you're conditioned just from hearing a couple notes.
Right.
You know, like, how did Pavlov screw with the dogs? He would just like whistle or something.
Ring
crap.
A bell. Ring
yeah.
a bell.
And then the food was
yes.
ready.
Yep. And then they start drooling
the
about the food. Yeah.
Right. Which one?
The point is, he didn't sit there with a bell for goddamn 8.5 minutes. It went ring a ding a ding, dogs drool. That's how I want the song to work. You hear that those opening chords, you're like, what?
What is that
Dick
song?
Dick jokes coming? This is, I believe, it's called Beautiful Creation by my brother's former band, Grace
Geyser. I was just about to say, I think it's really cool that you give props to your brother. I think that it's cool that you use the song.
Well, he was quick to point out that he never sold,
this is our worst song.
And I quote, one damn song because of you guys. So, good on him.
It sounds professional.
He definitely coughed up to get, like, a real studio for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the chick that did the Thanksgiving song
right.
and the Chinese food song.
Right.
Whoever that black guy was that
I
did
the... I love Chinese food.
Yes. And is it Friday?
Friday's the other girl.
Yes.
Now, the Chinese girl had another song, too, didn't she? The Chinese food girl? She
I
had the Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving, yes. Oh, God. Going deep down the O&A hole with you.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the whole...
I don't go deep enough.
The whole episode. No, you don't. But we'll bring you along for the ride.
That was a softball.
You can sit there looking bewildered. I'm going to bring down the song. John Papagiorgio. the show is Papa's Basement, in papasbasement.com. Hosts every episode we have ever done. We have a studio guest today, a very rare treat. This is Sean's third time on the show.
Sean F.
I don't even know if we've done two guests in a row.
Is this your third time?
Third time.
I thought
time.
You only did once.
No, he has called in twice. He's been kind enough.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You did
first
call-ins.
Time in studio.
Nice yeah. studio, right?
Yep, I did two phoners. You know, I mean, let's keep it like, you know, industry.
I did a phoner.
Two
phoner.
Phoners.
Yeah, they built the studio for us.
Phoner to a lousy local radio show. So good. We got Pete Maybe over here.
Hello.
Pete.
Back again.
You want to tweet me, it's at Papa's Basement. He, Mr. Sean F., is at Mondo270 of E-Rock parody fame. That's you're like the Da Vinci of E-Rock parody songs.
Yep, sir. I'm still riding that wave 2 years later. What the hell?
Hey, man, go for it.
I think it's great.
Yeah, you've at least sniffed the fingers of the show.
It was a great time.
I listened to your entire SoundCloud.
It is good stuff.
And I thought
even...
you had noticed because you started following me and you started liking my stuff. And I was like, okay. He's creeping on me.
Yeah, I do.
I got
like
a backup.
I like to see who's listening to the songs, where they are, watch their Twitter. Thank you very much.
Even if you know nothing about Opie and Anthony, a God rest the soul of that show, Sean's parodies are just fun to listen to. And I love E-Rock. And,
as do I.
Yes, Eric Nagel, the producer of the show, very good guy. And I don't know, it's just something funny about your ball busting. It's all in good fun. You
yeah.
know, there's no malice behind
Eric's
it.
Eric's put in a lot of time. He's got his
yeah.
new show going
yeah.
on.
Eric is not lazy by any means. He's got his own show. He's the operation director for Opie Radio. I mean, I just wanted to be a part of the show, and I never missed the chance to say I loved E-Rock. And even when I was on the show, I said I loved E-Rock. So he just kind of took things the wrong way.
I want him
you
to
can't
have
blame
you
him,
on
though.
His show.
If no, someone, I don't blame him at all.
Someone even in jest wrote a song about me having like huge man teats.
Yep.
I'd be like, oh, you know what? Even in jest, here's one up yours, in jest, too.
It was tough because the host loved it, Sam loved it, but one of the producers of the show, which was E-Rock, was not in on the joke.
I can't blame him.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, if someone did parody songs of me, I think it'd be cool for 3 seconds that someone
right.
knew who I was.
Especially if you
and
do
And by 14. Second five, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, go autofillate, buddy.
Yep. Yep.
Our side project, Sean, has got to stop. That's not going to work out.
I like that.
Autofillet. Yeah, that's a good one. Before we start the show, or I guess get to the meat of it, I wanted to bring up the death of Gary Shandling, which we somehow, I guess last
we
episode
We got caught
back,
up in the New York storm.
Well, we got caught in the death of Butters. Co-host is Butters, true. Who's no longer with
which
the
we were
show.
Saving a seat for tonight.
Yes, the seat, we said it was sitting Shiva, but we don't...
Yeah, neither, I think none so. Of us are, none of us know what the
none
hell
of us
that
are
is.
Jewish, so we don't know. Sean over here is like, there's a Jewish thing where there's an empty seat
it's
and a
religious
holiday
thing.
For a dead person.
I think it's Moses supposed to sit there, supposedly.
But yeah, that's why you have, the podcast still gets as few listeners as it does. We don't have any Jewish people in the cast. That's the secret ingredient to success, boys. Pete over here, convert.
And we also have Sean F. in the studio because we're doing this thing where we're doing I Can't Believe It's Not Butters competition, just to see if we can, you know, find out a new third mic. So you may have to live down here.
Butters?
I can never fill the shoes of Butters.
Yes, enjoy your 2.5-hour commute.
Yeah.
And then we'll finish the hour-long show and bid you adieu.
Yes, oh, that's fine. It's fair. That's fair.
And we're going to pay you in TGI Fridays coupons.
We'll pay you as much as we paid Butters.
Oh, God.
Endless apps.
There you go. Gary Shandling, he croaked a couple weeks ago, one of those like freak heart attack things. Not like, I guess in the realm of heart attacks, unexpected, 66, I believe.
Right.
It wasn't John Ritter level freak heart attack where it's like his aorta ruptured.
Yeah.
And like midline, he's just like, oh, I'm vomiting blood profusely and now right. I'm dead.
That's
like,
terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not
I
only...
didn't even know that. Because I think it was a little bit younger, and I was just like, oh, yeah, he died. And then you told me that, and I was like, that could happen to me.
Like, it was like...
I'm that young and naive. I'm just, that could happen to me.
If I recall, Ritter had some sort of, like, pocket in the aorta, and then it rips open, starts flooding out of the esophagus. Yeah.
It was called a torn aorta, I believe, at the time, right?
Something like that.
Right.
But literally, not only did he die and bum out everyone he worked with...
For real.
He died as horrifically...
Made a big mess.
On the set, right? Wasn't he one of those?
He was on set,
I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like the only worst thing would be if he like peered at the Lost Ark.
Right.
And just melted in front of people. Short of that, that was as bad as it got. I guess Gary just had a heart attack at his place. I feel like the dude doesn't get his due because Larry Sanders predated. Like for those that haven't seen it, by the way, Larry Sanders show. HBO, I want to say like 92 to 98, something like
Showtime,
that.
Showtime, right?
Or no, Gary Shandling show.
Oh,
was
yeah,
Showtime,
yeah, yeah,
like
you're absolutely
86
right.
to 90.
Right, 100%.
But Larry Sanders was his like inside entertainment show.
Right.
And it was brilliant. It was the first time that you had stars playing like ass versions of themselves. It wasn't, you know, like a glamorized version of David Duchovny. It was David Duchovny in this weird bisexual role where he was like, pulling trim left and right, and yet all he could think about was like getting away to a cabin with Larry every weekend. You know, I think the final episode, they do a scene where he's wearing a robe that's like barely covering his nuts.
Just low enough to cover his
balls. And they channel Basic Instinct where he's just in a chair, like folding and unfolding his legs, and Larry's just doing the averting his gaze, like his, you know, he's got the Medusa in front of him. And it was just so well done. It was about entertainment being seedy and crappy. And it wasn't like, oh, at the end of the day, let's root for Larry. Like, you rooted for this character, Larry, because he was talented. And he was against, like, even worse people. Like, the network, which was just completely heartless asses.
Right.
But he himself was just a pill popper who used women, who, you know, really crapped on his co-host, Jeff Tambor, as, you know, Hank Kingsley, who did the infamous Hey Now.
Hey Now.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was just huge. Like, when I was
a kid. Have you seen his Johnson?
Yes. You know, the whole.
Huge. Yeah.
That was a great episode with Hank, the big reveal that Hank is packing a huge dong.
I couldn't work with that guy.
I believe,
that's
yeah.
That's why we do great together.
Rip Torn has the great line where they're talking about Hank's dick, and he says, well, the camera does add 10 pounds. So.
And, John, you closed your show with the Rip Torn drop, right?
Yeah, that's how much that stupid show meant to me. I grew up, as you did, on, like, Guy Talk Radio. So it was like, early mid-90s, Guy Talk Radio. So it's like Howard Stern, for me down in D.C., Don and Mike. Both of these guys were just obsessed with Larry Sanders. Like, I didn't see Larry Sanders till like 2002, 2003. But, like, I knew Hey Now. I knew multiple sound bites. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, that's how much it appealed to the people I respected in comedy at the time. Even Patrice O'Neill, God rest him. I think one time he was asked point blank, like, on O&A or some point. He was just like, what's your favorite show of all time? He was like, Larry Sanders. No
kidding. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, and it's just... you know me, if Patrice said it, I'm like,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Patrice is like, oh, I'm into girls peeing in my mouth. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to get into the yellow. That should be my next thing. If it was good enough for Patrice.
It's at least twice a day where you're like, well, Patrice always says.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, right. I'm like, I know. Well, I know. He'll have sex with anybody. I get it.
Take a seat, Pete. Yeah. Let me school you on the not 1 to 10 scale, but rating women 1 through 27. I recall it like the three different tiers. But it was a brilliant show. I don't want to like knock Ricky Gervais, who I'm sure is listening to this live stream right now, so I can't burn those entertainment bridges. But Ricky Gervais really lived out of Larry Sanders or Gary Shandling's ass. Like, the whole concept of The Office. And Ricky Gervais is really open about being a huge Gary Shandling fan. But, dude, just watch a couple episodes of Larry Sanders. Like, the whole... I don't like to say awkward humor because it just makes it seem like it's five autistics in a room, mm-hmm. like just staring at each other, and then one of them farts, and you're like, oh, okay. No, it just...
Did somebody film that? That was hilarious.
Yeah, like, it was a comedy that dealt with, like, unpleasantness between people. Like, and, you know, people chafing and fighting, and not, like, in a fake sitcom way where, like, you know... Oh, Cody stole my prom date, and then, you know, I'm going right. to booby trap his room and BS, like, you know, Stefan Urkel and stuff. It was like people having legit beefs that would maybe last half a season and stuff like that, but right. Finding the comedy and fighting and strife, and it was just so well done.
I was a huge fan of Letterman mid-80s into the 90s, and you know that basically was what Letterman was behind the scenes. In my opinion, you know, Larry Sanders' show, I think.
Yeah, he was.
You know, Letterman behind the scenes.
If I recall, he was.
I was still a pup.
Yeah, you were literally suckling at that point, but seven.
Didn't stop until I was nine.
Yeah. It's that whole insecurity, too, like, you know, being on the air and being this, like, you know, macho Bravo guy, and then behind the scenes being this, like, yeah, oh, well, everybody hates me, you know.
Exactly. He's on air, he's this huge swinging D.
Right.
He was a late night host. And then as soon as it goes, you know, to commercial, it's like, oh, did such and such call me back? You know, the girl I just slept with, where are my pills? And
right.
He's just a mess.
You know, Letterman was doing stuff like that.
I think you hit it directly. It had to be Letterman.
Absolutely.
For some reason, I don't see Johnny Carson sweating women.
Right.
Johnny's
right.
just like, oh, yeah. I didn't pull out of that one. Make sure to shove her down the stairs, Frank.
Exactly. With the exception of his relationship with Hank, that was probably more Johnny and Ed, I'm sure.
Yes.
You know.
It was just all good. Do yourself a favor. I know it's really hard to look up on YouTube now because, first of all, probably HBO got to yanking a lot of the episodes. And I think there was, like, a copyright issue because it had so many songs in it that HBO, to my knowledge, does not carry it on HBO Go. Because I'll be damned if I
wouldn't. They didn't
want to
pay for the royalties?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, swear, like, you're not HBO or something?
I swear to Christ, I know you can't get, like, Dream On
right.
from years ago, but that's fine. You know, I'm a little kid. I don't have to, like,
I think
watch
you've heard it enough.
Dream On to see tits.
Right.
Like,
do you know, they did that with Quantum Leap. Remember that? When they put Quantum Leaps out on DVDs?
Uh-huh.
Because, like, you know, on the Quantum Leap, he would go into the 50s, and they would play all these 50s songs. And then they put it on DVD, and they didn't have the rights to the song. So they just had this Muzak playing in lieu of, like, Elvis or, you know,
yeah,
like Kiss
like,
or something like that.
It's just dead silence.
It totally changes the show. It's terrible.
Oh, that's horrific.
Horrible.
The problem with Larry Sanders, there was a dude who entered the NBA who's already out
by
the name of Larry Sanders, who I think played for the Bucks. So now, do yourself a favor, Google Larry Sanders fights X. And, you know, just anyone from the show. And instead of getting him
right
tearing into Rip Torn, it's just like five pictures of this, like, you know, 7'2" black guy fouling. And you're
that
like, what the hell? Why did, you know, out of respect, could you have not, you know.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes up.
Put
Larry
an extra
Sanders.
S on the end of Sanders or something.
That's a damn shame. That's a damn shame.
It's not fun. It really, and I noticed that about a year or two ago. And I was like, I watched it obsessively back when I had a desk job. And a couple years ago, I was like, you know what? How about we watch the entire show a sixth time? And then I'm like looking up Larry Sanders clips, and it's just guys shooting three-pointers.
My entire Stinks. First page of Google
is just
the best.
Larry Sanders of the Bucks.
Isn't that something?
That's it.
It's just such crap
luck. Didn't even have like the wiki character or something like that. You'd think that would come up pretty soon.
No, it's one of those things that predates by maybe a decade at the most. Everything being online. It's just such crap luck. There's this divide where if you predated the internet in terms of like people, not just the internet, but people really easily being able to make YouTube clips or share, you know, GIF files or GIF files. God, if we'll ever figure out the
GIF is the right word. Right?
I feel that's like Civil War. No. It is.
I'm not saying GIF though. I will not say GIF.
I won't say it either. It's GIF.
It's got to be GIF.
It's GIF. It's pronounced GIF, like the peanut butter, but like you might as well be calling Pete the N-word over here.
Call in now. Do you prefer GIF or GIF?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, tell us on the Periscope.
Yeah, tweet it in.
But there's just this sad divide where like shows that were like 3 years too early, they might as well be cave paintings.
Right.
It might as well be goddamn Donna Reed on a black and white.
You'll never find
it. Yeah, and yet you have like The Office just every damn word Dwight ever uttered is now a meme. But, you know, mm-hmm. Larry Sanders 10 years prior doesn't get that kind of love because right. it just no one was sitting there obsessively watching it and screen capping it from YouTube.
It's also the same reason a lot of celebrities never got in trouble back then. It's because you couldn't pull out your cell phone, throw it on YouTube or Vine or whatever it was. I mean, a lot of people were, let's say the people in the sports community, they could probably cheat a lot more frequently.
Oh, and their spouses.
About 20 years ago than they can now.
Oh, are we talking about his nuts?
But just all of them?
No.
There's a lot.
I don't remember.
I was like, if it's basketball, yes.
It was like the Lakers' first round pick from last year. I don't know if we want to get all topical. the Lakers' first round pick, I think it was the second dude in the draft, filmed, I think it was Nick Young, whose nickname is Swaggy P. And
wow.
Just, yeah. Oh, God. You guys should defecate on me
nickname.
Just for saying the word Swaggy P.
I'm looking that up
Swaggy
right
P.
now.
The Swaggy P fellow is engaged to who's the white rapper girl with the melty face?
Fergie?
Fergie.
Oh,
was...
Izzy? Izzy Azalea?
There, Iggy
I was just
Azalea.
About to say that too.
Oh, okay.
Between the three of us.
What do you mean the melty face?
But I would
face?
Hit Izzy.
She kind of has like a plastic looking face.
Oh, Fergie. I see what you mean. Okay.
Like she looks like an alien that skinned a person right. and then put that on, but it didn't line up.
It looks
smooth.
Like
a man in blackface.
I'm with you. Okay, I can see
yeah.
that. I see what you mean.
I still
dig it.
Yeah, she's pretty
listening.
Hot though.
I guess. I mean, if she
John doesn't like her. I was actually I posted one of those episodes.
I like her from behind.
That's great.
The face is a little weird.
There apparently is a tape, by the way. I don't know if anybody's like.
Oh,
right. Yeah, with her fiance, right?
Yeah, the Nick Young
some
guy.
Like it was like some producer guy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they made a big deal because they were like, "Oh my God, he's white."
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, that. Oh, that
but I'll tell you what.
That
I was
had
like,
to be done not for love, but money.
It very well could have.
I know her preferences.
Because that homie let us down.
Hmm.
If you watch that tape, you're like, dude, that was the most boring thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well,
I was like, dude.
I still say the Kim Kardashian.
That
you know,
one does
the most
not get
boring,
more boring.
Yeah, so we can't crap on that enough.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh my God, she is so dead fish. Which again, I wouldn't really care because like back in the porno era, about 2007, like I was obsessed. Like I thought she was gorgeous.
Right.
I would have been 30 seconds either way. Like she could have been reading the paper for all that mattered. I just would have pushed it down enough to see them. Would have been done. Okay, go back to the funny pages, honey. So Swaggy P, who is engaged to Melty Face, he's filmed by his roommate his teammate in the locker room, talking apparently about pulling other chicks other than his fiance, and he's like, I can't do what's her face, Amber Rose, because she's close with Melty Face, but I can do this 19-year-old Latin chick if I recall, and then his friend, the teammate, is like. Hey, surprise, I was recording all of this.
Oh
and it
God.
Ends with Swaggy P being like, what did you just say? It sounds so staged because if someone said that to me and I was talking about cheating on my famous fiance, you'd bludgeon them to
you
death
start
before
swaying.
They could do the upload.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean.
No, that doesn't make it
unless
anywhere
it was
on the internet.
Well, unless it was a Periscope. That's all I can say. Unless it was a Periscope, like
and
if some guy's filming this and then he's like, hold on a second. I have to put this on YouTube and ruin your life. Will you give me 3 minutes? No, you beat the living F out of him. And apparently that got out. And the filmer is, of course, blacklisted because it's like you filmed something in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this guy talking about pulling strange. Like on five levels, what the hell's wrong with you?
That's terrible.
And then, yeah, what's her face? Iggy is like, hey, I liked the video. I guess you would if your fiance is talking openly about cheating on you.
Whatever gets you more airtime.
Do you think any athlete is being, you know, true to their lover at this point? I mean,
no,
they can't be, right?
Why would you?
Yeah. Few and far between.
Right.
I have this.
You live in other cities.
What was the story about this musician who tried to kill herself a few days ago because word got out that she was cheating on somebody? She was going out with a basketball player. But I'm like, honey, the basketball player you're dating is cheating on you. I mean, what? Why are you trying to kill yourself? You know, she's feeling guilty because the word got out that she
really?
Was cheating. Yeah, I'm sorry.
If I were cheating on my chick and I found out she cheated,
yeah.
My reaction would just be like, cool, can we do it like openly?
Exactly.
Like,
you don't try to kill yourself openly.
No, I mean, that's just getting what's coming to you.
Yeah, and that's like Gavin Rosdale. It's like, he's an 11. I would have, you know, relations with Gavin Rossdale.
Queer.
Sorry.
I would.
He's like two, though.
It'd be 20 like, years ago, maybe. Come on. You can do better.
It's John Stamos, one.
Yeah,
Gavin Rossdale, two.
Okay.
Pete, maybe
especially
three.
Constantine.
Yeah. Handsome Dickens,
Pete,
isn't it?
Handsome Pete, maybe three.
Even with his little 12-year-old haircut.
It looks better now.
Kind of.
I think it's actually
You keep
working.
Telling yourself that. You are Jerry Seinfeld.
I think the pills are working.
From the episode where he gets the cruddy haircut.
Uh-oh. I get it from your people. It looks great.
Oh.
I think it looks great.
Don't let Greeks touch you for anything. he's aroused behind your barber's chair.
Yeah, I don't even need mousse. So greasy.
Yeah, it is starting to fill out. God damn it.
I know, it looks great.
All
it's
I have
luscious.
On you looks-wise is a hairline. If you take that from me, I'm just going to disfigure you. I am going to Joker products your face. Put you behind a mask.
Fight club and, me?
Yeah. just beat it because it was beautiful.
Destroy something beautiful.
So
that'll be my last episode.
Yeah, there was some singer girl. Oh, Leilani? Leilani? I don't know.
Yes,
Layla?
That sounds
Yeah, I think you're in the ballpark.
Whatever, yeah.
But yep. I'd never heard of her before that.
Me neither.
Me neither.
We're all so young and hip.
Yeah.
Who are these people? They're cheating on each other, apparently.
Right on the pulse.
Reminds, I like
well, that's
face.
All we know.
Reminds me of what Desi Arnaz did to Lucy. Now we're talking my time. Yeah, I didn't realize that. She was trying to kill herself because she was busted cheating.
Yeah, and if and something, just, and something, it was even dumber because apparently it was a rumor that she was cheating on the guy, but it wasn't true. But it got back to the guy, and then she Instagrammed a photo of herself in a hospital bed and said, you know, try to do the worst tonight, da-da-da, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, dude, the person that you're going out with is cheating on you right now as your Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
He's like, oh, man, my girl almost killing herself really has me down. Can you suck the poison out, please? Just suck the sorrow right out of that.
Yeah, he's like looking at her Instagram while she's, you know,
oh man,
giving treats.
Good Lord, if you're going to pull a Lucretia, at least go through with it. Sorry, that's for the Latin nerds. Lucretia. That was the... The famous Latin story, if I recall. I like how I say famous Latin.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah, like
the famous oh, yeah, the one. Story. Yeah, that.
This is from like Latin class when I was a kid. Well, if I recall, there was a guy who there's Lucretia the wife, and she was supposed to be
Lucretia.
This is that's what it sounds like these days. But Lucretia back then was an Italian, I suppose, and
I can see that.
She was this virtue held up as an example of Roman virtue because a guy was like, if you don't bang me, I'm going to spread the word that you did bang me.
Oh.
It's good to know that even 2,000 years ago, we pulled the same crap
yeah.
as men.
Why not?
And she was like, she
if it
went.
Ain't broke.
So get this. She goes before like her husband or the Senate or some crap and is like, I never balled him, but just to prove I'm faithful, killing myself now. Peace. Slits her throat, dies. And that's what you're supposed to do as a Roman woman.
No kidding.
Good yeah. Lord.
And this is way before Twitter.
A little bit, yeah.
So a word couldn't have got out too far.
At least 20 years prior.
Perhaps more than that.
They're like, I don't know if I believe her.
Well, she did,
just
she,
standing
she,
over there.
She did kill herself.
She still did it, dead whore. Oh, man. I want to also do, God, this is so horrible. I heard the words dead whore, and then I'm like, next segment.
Speaking of.
I was talking with Sean before the show.
Lies.
About this, yeah, it's true. You just walked in here.
No, I'm
ready.
I'm just kidding.
And we both have seen this bizarre, and it's now like 3 years old. So again, we're keeping it topical. 3-year-old Scarlett Johansson movie called Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
Where I just saw it a couple days ago. She plays an alien that gets nude like multiple times. Like imagine like a species level of nudity. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's just seducing guys, getting naked, seduces another guy, gets naked.
That's the plot line?
Yep.
Because I've seen these pictures multiple times. I mean, they
the stills,
maybe come
yes.
up like once or twice a month.
I think you mean Pete, maybe.
Sorry.
Okay.
No.
All righty.
You see, on
I was
paper,
like, where's he going?
On paper, that makes total sense, right? Hey, let's go out and get that movie because Scar Jo is naked.
I didn't know she was an alien. She's supposed to be an alien in that movie?
Okay. So
I looked at this. I kid you not. I would say upwards to 1,000 times.
It's imagine if
still
on
no
one
idea.
End of the spectrum is Species, which was what, 95? And
yeah,
it was that girl.
Sure.
Not it was Natasha
Henstridge?
Henstridge, yeah.
Right.
Good pull.
It
Thank
was either
you.
Well, there's two Natashas. There's Kinski and Henstridge. I guess that one was Henstridge. Yeah,
Kinski's the older one, right?
I think you're right.
The 80s
yeah.
or Cat People.
That yeah. Henstridge girl was like
I remember that.
So there see, that's another example of someone who just was like this far ahead of the curve.
Right.
10 years later, that woman would have been nude all over the internet. And who doesn't want that for their daughter? But she's like 95 naked, so there's like that one crappy still from Species that you can like dig up online and that's it. So much in the same vein, if Species is like this pulpy B movie thing about an alien seducing people and spoiler, killing them, on the other end of the spectrum is the art house version of it, Under the Skin, which is a near wordless, soundless film where, let's be honest, it's just the female alien version of the Bang Bus.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson is just driving around.
Casting couch.
Yeah. Like Ireland or some crap.
She's driving in a van.
Yeah, she's in a van.
Literally.
Oh.
Picking
then, yes,
up
definitely
dudes.
Definitely Bang Bus. Sorry.
And then we get into this, it gets all artsy all of a sudden, mm-hmm. and we cut to a depiction of sex as her walking away from guys while stripping. And the guys follow on an all-black background. Like, it looks like we're in outer space, like 2001. And they slowly sink into this swampy morass, this just weird...
It's like tar almost.
Yes, and they disappear. And I guess that's like symbolically she's killing them
they
or consuming them.
They just hypnotically fall.
Yep.
Well, it's ScarJo putting her fat pooper out. Like anyone would...
Anybody would walk forward.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Like the Pope could have a foot in his mouth and he'd be like, uno momento. Got something to tend to here. And... what's so weird is if like 10 years ago you said like there's a ScarJo naked movie and she's naked a lot and yet it is so weird you would not be able to even achieve, much less maintain, liftoff, shall we? Like for some reason that's the one thing I chose to be clear or clean about. Sure.
Yeah.
Liftoff instead of erection. I would say BS to you, good sir. I'd be able to operate under any conditions. You could put ScarJo naked, like superimposed on Faces of Death 7.
I would absolutely challenge that if somebody said that to me.
And yet, they would be the winner chicken dinner. Because the movie is so damn weird and sterile that even though, I'm not kidding, like every 10 minutes, like they're coming up on a commercial break, she just strips. And... it's so weird after she strips and so asexual.
Right.
You're like, what is wrong with me? Like, it makes you question the functionality of your parts. And then, so it's like, starts off, she's like, just undressing and you see bra and panties. You're like, okay. And then, like, the second dude, it's like her, you know, you see her posterior. And you're like, cool, we're upping the ante. I like where this is going. You know, the human mind, it can figure out patterns. I think I know where pattern 3 or 4 has taken me. And she actually does strip fully nude while seducing a guy who looks like a Mexican version of the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are you doing Sophie's Choice to my dick? Like, am I going to get turned on while I'm staring at both her breasts and this poor misshapen dude? Like,
that's
legit
gonna ruin
misshapen.
The rest of your life.
Exactly. And then
you're gonna
suddenly,
be stuck in that mode.
Yeah. Suddenly I'm punched.
That's all that can do it for you.
Exactly. I'm buying his bones from Michael Jackson's estate so I can keep a rod. It's like, do I do that or do I just sit there limp while I'm seeing her breasts in action for the first time? It is the weirdest friggin' movie,
you're
man.
You're like, I actually have to finish this movie. That's
well, no, I was
terrible.
Watching it with my buddy because we're channeling autofocus. And we get 20 minutes in,
so
and I'm like...
you certainly should have been able to achieve.
Is exactly. In spite of that, in spite of being around a man, I still couldn't. It was so weird that, like, 20 minutes in, I'm like, just get on Mr. Skin, and we just fast forward to, like, every
oh,
nude
you
part.
Just need the clips.
But it was... Sean, like, well, your thoughts on it, man.
It was a little too artsy. I mean, you... same way, on paper, like we were saying earlier, on paper, it looked like, you know what, this is a done deal. I'm going to watch this film, pants, you know... mm-hmm. halfway down.
Oh, yeah. Around the ankles.
But
I like it when they're halfway down because then you just pretend. You're like, oh, is this happening?
Right.
Oh, but the jeans aren't there to constrain it.
I was
oh,
just
well.
Checking my mole.
I accidentally fell down.
When in Rome.
Right. But to be honest, it's a good movie. I thought it had some high points and low points, but...
It is. I don't want to crap on it. Like, it tries to do something weird. And it's kind of... I'll applaud anything doing that.
Very artsy, but absolutely not a spank movie.
I know that
sure.
this isn't terribly important because I guess the plot line was...
You're right, it isn't.
She gets
so
naked.
We'll kill your mic now.
But what was the end game? I mean, you guys finished the movie. What was the whole point?
Well, the end game makes things even weirder because I believe, because I went the last 5 minutes because it promised more nudity, she is beaten and raped And the rapist pulls her fake skin off.
Yes.
And reveals that she's like a black T-1000.
Right. And then he immediately says, I'm going to pour gasoline on her right now and burn her to death.
He sprints away.
He says it?
To, I guess, like...
No, in his mind. Like, you can see it on his face. It's a realization. Like, I'm going to burn this...
I've done movies.
The world's greatest actor, by the way, because you see his expression, you're like, he's going to find gasoline and burn her. How do you do that with just your eyes?
He's branded. It's
pretty awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know if this is his MO. Like, he took her into the woods and he does a lot of rapies, and it's just like he had that gas can behind.
I lied.
Behind like old Pine Tree 47. And like, he just is beating and raping and gassing every woman there.
That's a weird part of the movie because halfway through the movie, like you mentioned, she pretty much, like, kills all these guys, and then halfway through the movie, she starts kind of almost feeling bad. Like, she starts feeling bad about the guy with the, you know, elephant man face.
Okay.
She actually lets him go.
And does she?
Yeah, okay. And then she starts kind of feeling bad, and then by the end of the movie, she's...
Which is weird, because that guy knows it's not going to get any better for him, so he's probably like, why didn't you kill me?
Right, exactly. She kind of opens the door and lets him leave. But it's true. But then what happens is, and then by the end of the movie, she's actually very fragile. You know, she goes into the woods, and then the next thing you know, like you said, this guy starts attacking her. But the weird thing is, and you'll have to help me with this, if you ripped off skin off of a woman and she's like, well, you said a black T-1000,
yeah,
would you immediately say, oh, I'm going to go, I got to get some gasoline and destroy this thing? Wouldn't you be like, oh, I'm going to call, the police and
find out what the hell it is.
Scientists.
I'm in the middle of the woods.
Destroy it? Like, how did he instantly know, I'm going to go ahead and burn this thing? You know?
Was he a redneck?
If you
Not
thought,
really, no.
That would make sense.
Well, it's Ireland. Everyone's like kind of urban.
Maybe
I guess
drunk.
That's true.
Yeah. But he looked like he worked for like a utility company. He had a utility jacket on, you know.
Well, let's be honest. All rapists are utility employees. That's why you get into that business.
Strange ending. And again, you can pretty much watch this and fast forward with the sound off because it's more visual than words.
Well, you want to talk conflicted. Not only are you seeing her nude but not turned on, the end of the film is you going, thanks for saving the world, rapist.
Yeah.
Thanks for beating that woman to death and then lighting her on fire.
She was finally coming around, too. And there's also this weird motorcycle character who's kind of like...
her handler. There's
handler.
A dude version of her,
Because when she runs off, when she starts having feelings, the handler's like running around trying to find her. That's kind of almost like a side part of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
Because by the end, he's up on a mountain like looking for her, and he sees this plume of smoke coming out of the woods.
That's
her being burned. It's just a weird movie. But definitely watch it. It's definitely worth, just to at least talk about it.
Yeah.
It's worth a watch.
So if you want to be limp while seeing her breasts and then cheer a rapist at the end.
Yeah, you won't get hard on this movie. Sorry.
Speaking of not getting hard, you disclosed, Mr. Mondo 270, that you, since 1991... Which is weird because you were two at the time.
Yes,
so young and
very young,
perky. You were a Playboy subscriber.
Yes, I was in Rutgers in New Jersey
as a two-year-old.
As a two-year-old,
very brilliant.
I just wandered on.
My
mother was not very good. I just wandered away from her at the mall. No, but I went to the bookstore because I knew the Diane Parkinson edition of Playboy was out.
Of the disease fame.
Of Price is Right fame.
Oh, that's
Diane Parkinson. Yeah. and I got an issue, and because, again, I grew up in love with her with the Showcase Showdown when she was in the bathing suit, the One Piece.
It was great.
That's the very first issue you picked up?
The very first one I bought. I mean, I've always seen them at friends' houses, but I never actually owned one.
My first
one
was the Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
That was in my first couple.
That was way deep into my membership. Yeah, when the Jenny McCarthy episode came, or issue came. But yeah, so there was a little, ticket in there. I ripped it out, filled it out. So I've been a Playboy subscriber since 1991, literally.
That is a long time, dude.
Long
time.
That's
awesome. Do you still have them, or do you sell them?
You know what? The first
that's
maybe,
a lot to
the
keep around.
The first few years, I didn't really keep them, but I'd say for the last 5-6 years, I do keep them for some reason. I don't know why. I do have a
people
a
still
bunch
buy them.
Of them.
I had a friend's dad who subscribed, and it was like, in his personal bathroom, you could get the last year's worth.
Yeah.
And we would kind of check them out like it was a library.
Nice.
Yep.
And after that year,
always mix it up.
He would chop up the issue like a serial killer taking trophies. And he would take out like the pictures and the centerfold and discard the rest. And so if you went deep into his closet.
And put them in his high school locker? Like, what is he doing? Why is
like
he cutting them out? Like,
this weird series of folders that was just nonstop Playboy photos.
Hmm.
And what's weird is like without the foreplay of the articles, it wasn't that sexy.
No, that's a little serial killer-esque.
Yeah, it really was bizarre. That like
all the eyes were cut out.
And horror was carved into everyone. Yeah. It was just weird that, you needed the buffer of that magazine to make it like, you know, like it, there was a buildup. It was like, oh, the girls of news radio are on page 86.
Hey, yes.
Just seeing the photo after photo after photo is like, you disgusting slime.
I need to know where her hometown is.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was always
the hot.
There was always the college issue that everybody looked forward to.
Oh, it's so good.
And then once or twice a year, you'd get a big celebrity. You know, which I can't think of any off the top. Pamela Anderson's the big one, obviously.
Pam was in there all the time.
Yep.
I always liked that it was a celebrity on the downslide.
Right.
And they were, like, trying to resuscitate, and it never worked. Right. Like, yeah. Like, in 96, it would be like, oh, it's downtown Julie Brown. She's naked.
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
Well, this is cool. It would have been greater in 90, but sure. You know, black don't crack. She's still smoking.
Who was the first black lady? Because we just saw that issue while we were in...
Renee Tennyson, 1990.
There you go. Yeah, we just saw that on sale at the...
Renee Tennyson?
I believe so.
At the flea market this weekend.
That was before my issue, unfortunately.
And suddenly like, I sound say, like Robert
still,
De Niro.
People still buy it. There's a guy at this flea market that I took John over the weekend, and he has a bunch of them, and some of them are on display so you can see it. But I've seen a bunch of little redneck kids, and if you want to send them down this way, and then I can sell them to those kids... they've bought boxes.
Yeah,
boxes
they're redneck
full.
Kids.
And
they don't have the internet.
I mean,
internet.
You can still sell them. I'm just saying.
They're still trying to look at, like, you know,
there's
the
Hun.com. There's still a place to dispose of these.
On a 28A.
Without cutting them up and putting them in your binder.
You're absolutely right. I'm sure in the Antarctic, it would also move to both man and penguin.
There you go.
You could sell a mag or two.
That in West Virginia, yep.
And Pamela Anderson was in the last issue where there was actually nudes. That just happened a few months ago.
They dug her out. Was it fresh? Like, was it an actual...
You know what? I'm sure they did plenty of Photoshop, but she looked really good in her spread.
I mean,
it was a new pictorial, you know?
I like how this is me thinking I'm getting all ladies' rights and for equality. I remember watching that show VIP.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Was it Valerie Irons Protection? That's what it stood for.
Wow, if you know that.
She was the character Valerie Irons.
I couldn't have told you that in a million years.
I remember always watching that show and liking her ass way more on the front side and being like, you know what? Not enough people appreciate your derriere, Miss Anderson.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, that would have been my way
I'm
to her
let
heart
the world know.
If we ever bumped into each other. Be like, no cans for me. Turn it around. And at that point, she would have discarded
Tommy
Lee.
I've been
Tommy
waiting
Lee.
For this moment my whole life.
Someone finally noticed.
Moment like this. And was that's how you sing on key.
Was that show where she was doing like Charlie's Angels or something?
Yeah, VIP.
Kind-esque? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was, what was the one with the Hulkster? Was he in that one too? There was something right around that era.
Oh, wasn't
that?
Oh,
where they were
well,
like...
yeah, there was that episode where he has a sex tape stolen and they're trying to get it back. No.
I think you're mixing
that's
up
in
the
last
files,
episode.
I'm getting senile.
Thunderheart? What was that show?
Where yeah,
they,
I think it was something
a speedboat,
like that.
The yellow speedboat?
Yeah, that's all I remember is it was just a speedboat just going in circles.
If
some
you want to go
syndicated bullcrap show.
Deep down the nerd hole, a friend of mine in sixth grade or so when that show was out had heart surgery, and because this is how parents work, as a reward for not dying, they bought him what was called the CDI system.
Yes. It was,
yes, you remember CDI.
I remember CDI.
And it had an interactive game based on that. Like, you controlled an episode, and he had me over to his house, like, a year ago to play it. And he's like, this is the worst game ever made. And I guess I was, like, supposed to get off on how bad it was. And I just, this is like me with, like, so bad they're good movies. Like, 10 minutes in, I'm like, no, you're right. It really sucks. Can we watch something good? Like, I don't get the, this is so crappy, it's great thing. I'm like, no, it's so crappy, it's really crappy.
Well, CDI had the worst Zelda game of all time,
the
right?
The only one
Hyrule
that has, like, really incredibly negative reviews.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just home to Nintendo licenses, but horrible versions thereof.
Right.
I love the concept of, well, son, you didn't die. Here's your $700 gift. Because as a kid, that's how stupid you are. You're like, what is my treat for not going to heaven, Pops? No thought to, like... You just paid $20,000 to fix the hole in my heart. On top of that, how about the 700 for this system that also has $100 games?
If only he was John Ritter's dad.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, exactly. At least I didn't have to spend the $700. And then he just pulls down his eyes. Isn't that the best? Isn't that every movie death? Oh, man. So, speaking of death... God, I'm just nailing these segues horribly.
Yeah. Bangs.
Speaking of death.
There is an old Indian fellow, to say it PC, politically correctly, an old Native American guy named Joe Medicine Crow, who I heard about maybe 4 hours straight a day or two ago when he went to that big reservation in the sky because I listened to NPR. Like
New
a
casino.
Yeah, like a Vermont lesbian. And he croaked at 102, and it just it got me thinking, you know, they're doing all this and that about he met dudes. He talked to dudes that actually, like, killed Custer. You know,
oh,
like,
no
he went back that deep. And I'm like, that's kind of interesting.
Oh, 102 years old.
He was ancient.
When you said 102, I thought that was like a radio station.
Oh, the frequency? Yeah. Yeah. DJ Joe Medicine Crow with you. No, it's
7 to 9.
Yeah. Followed by Pete Teepee. No, Joe Medicine Crow is like his legit, I guess that's on his driver's license,
right,
Joe
okay.
Medicine Crow. And they're going on about Joe's life. I was reading like a New York Times article on him. And this is going nowhere, by the way. If you're expecting a buildup, this is just
needed to say this.
Instead of the stairway to heaven, this is the stairway to 30 dead seconds.
He deserves his moment. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. Go Joe. So I'm reading the article, and it's like Joe Medicine Crow, I get that as a name. He was probably a medicine man. I think he's from the Crow tribe. And in fact, pretty much makes sense. You know, it's like calling me John Greek. I, you know,
My name's
John, and I love anal.
Wait a second.
Yeah. His step-grandfather went by the name, and again, I'm like, I get Native American names. You know, that's like, that's Stephen Crying Cloud. All right, he was probably conceived when it was raining. You know, that's Tommy Doesn't Tip. Well, I'm not going to expect him to help out the next time we eat out. So we get to his step-grandfather, and the name was, I am serious, White Man Runs Him.
Huh.
Now,
did he pick it?
White Man Runs Him.
Yeah.
I guess you don't get to pick your own name, right?
It sounds like something like Chuck D from Public Enemy would say of like a black movie executive he hated. Like that would be his Indian name. I don't. What is White Man Runs Him? Like I have this great assemblage of brains here. Pretty much it's like the Manhattan Project and then this in terms of intellectual wattage. Like, on what level is that? There's nothing good.
No.
Like, how are you White Man Runs Him, and that's a cool name? Like, that sounds like a name they gave you because you're the Indian that, like, was in cahoots with the Union Army when they put you on the reservation.
They, like, took bribes.
Yeah, yeah. You
gave up the goods.
Yeah, you were, like, Chief Swinging D. And then, like, you're the guy that brought the smallpox blankets in. And, you know, your whole tribe is now decimated. And it's like, yeah, oh, there's Chief White Man Owns His Ass. I don't, there's nothing cool about White Man Runs Him.
There certainly isn't.
Yeah, we're just sitting here stroking
I'm trying to figure out why he would be named that. Is there any, there's no background
they
at all?
They didn't go any further?
Or, I mean, there is. I'm sure I could Google it in two
seconds.
Oh,
okay.
But why?
Here's where the riffing is supposed to happen.
Yeah. Here's the magic of dead air. You can mentally insert the Jeopardy theme right here.
I like all the funny names.
It's just, it was silly, and yeah, I heard enough about Joe Medicine Crow. There's like a photo of Obama hugging him, and he's like that level of old where you don't really think he knows what's going on. It's like the old, who is it, the old black dude that's on the sideline of every Redskins game, and then like Dan Snyder got horrible press because they're like, hey, old black guy that was at every Redskins game, your seats are now $200 a game. And he's like,
jerk.
Did you miss the part, you know, the part where I'm really old? I can't afford that. I have diabetes medicine to purchase.
Isn't there something called the MC Hammer rule in football? Like one year MC Hammer was like sideline of a football game.
And I'm guessing the Falcons.
Yeah, and then there was like too much attention, so then celebrities couldn't be on the sidelines anymore.
Really?
I think they called the MC Hammer.
Well, there's like, I guess that's like legit celebrities, but he's like one of those like team
celebrities. He's just a normal guy.
He's a diehard fan.
Almost like a mascot.
Exactly, like an unofficial mascot. Like, because I don't even think the Redskins, as much as they're like, screw it, we're never changing the name, I don't think they have like a mascot who's like dressed up in full war garb and like twirling, you know, tomahawks and crap. But they're able to be like, well, that old guy's doing it. We're not going to, you know, mess with his crap.
There's a guy like that in SNL who's been to every SNL since it started. But then like after a while, they just started giving him tickets. So they didn't treat him like a piece of crap.
Was he
it's absolutely impossible to get tickets. And I'm basically just every time I hear about this guy, I'm like, damn it.
Was that Johnny Loves SNL?
I can't remember what his name is. That's an Indian guy.
I didn't know about that. Like, how old is the dude?
Native American.
Like are those tickets going to be opening up soon if you catch my drift? Or did he get in on the ground floor when he was young?
Very likely. I think he's, well, not very likely. But if he keeps doing that, and he waits in line too every Saturday. He's like, oh, I know they gave me tickets, but like I still wait in line with everybody. He keeps that.
You know,
up. He's about 70 or something.
That would make me angrier.
He's going
than if he just walked in. Like, why do you have to humor me and yeah. sit in the line? Like, does he
go up there, Dick? I know you got a seat.
Does he go like whole hog to sell the bit, as it were? Is he like, oh, I hope I get a ticket?
Such a diehard.
And then they send home the people, you know, like 75 deep in front of him, and they're all
I've
just
thought
walking,
about doing it before.
Walking
yeah,
away dejected.
And 3 like, in the morning.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there like, oh, guess what, asses? I actually got tickets. You know, flipping on the bowfinger.
Tommy, standby ticket.
You got to get on the inside.
We need Indian
like
names.
You got on the inside of Opie and Anthony.
Yes.
Just before they split.
Yeah, I crammed my way in there right before.
How did you get in?
Did you just hit them in the Twitter? Oh yeah, it was your fault by the way. But how did you get in there? Was it via Twitter? Or?
You know what? They had a parody song. Well, it was actually a jingle contest that was at the end of 2013.
I remember. Yeah, initially it was like supposed to be a show jingle, and then immediately it just became like parody tunes,
right.
And they're like, hey guys, this isn't a jingle.
Right.
Like, we wanted something original, and then everyone's
will
just
you guys
like,
please quit being jackasses?
Yeah.
And we asked you for something.
I had zero jingles in me, but when people started submitting songs, I was like, I can do something with songs. But unfortunately, it was all E-Rock songs. You know, that's all I had. And then luckily they did.
That was your inspiration?
Yeah, yeah. See, I always wanted to be a part of the show, you know, and that was the only way. I mean, being a 40-ish man who's already, you know, been through college, and I was in radio, TV, and film, and never had a radio job, I was like, you know what, here's a chance to kind of at least get noticed. Maybe they'll play it, maybe they won't.
Well, for God's sake, Anthony got on the show by doing an OJ parody.
100%,
so, yeah.
Right? So I'm in my mind, I'm like, you know, if I can just get
there's
my...
a dim little fluorescent bulb in your head going
on.
Yeah.
If I can just get my name mentioned, maybe I'll get my foot in the door. So
there's a couple people that started as callers.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a guy named Danny who was kind of just a fan in the audience who became an associate producer, Danny Ross, who everybody hates, including me. But that's another story. But
I didn't know that was Danny's origin, actually. He was just a caller.
Yeah. I think he was just like a fan, and they picked him out of a crowd. And thing you know, he's an associate producer. So I'm thinking, you know, if he got that for just being him, I can maybe at least, you know, make some original songs. So next thing you know, they start playing my songs, and I have it recorded, and it's like, you know, set in stone. After they played a few of my songs, Opie's like, Sean F., send in anything, whatever you want to send in. Cool. So
then and that has to feel great, by the way.
Dude, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that kind of started my 15-song run. You know, at that time, I only had like 3 or 4. And then I just started cranking them out once every couple of weeks. And next thing you know, they're saying my name. They're... you know, using my songs in podcast commercials, and I'm like, this is incredible. And as we started getting closer to the end of the year, there was a weight loss contest that was going on between E-Rock and Roland. And I had DM'd Sam, because that's another cool byproduct of this, is that Sam started following me, Opie
I
built some rapport with his people, and you get to start talking to him.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Anytime anyone of renown follows
that?
Or any level, I'm just like, that made my day.
Right.
Maybe even a week. And, so that has to be some sort of like just great validation.
Amazing.
Like, yeah.
Anthony and Jim never followed me, but that was okay. You know, that was fine.
You don't have to be PC here.
No, it was okay. It was cool. Actually, I was surprised Anthony. That was the other big thing. My other bucket list was getting invited to the compound, but that never happened. So that's my other thing. Anyway,
I was gonna say, do you have those stories?
Never did. I never met Beavis. I never had the beers and did the karaoke, which I was shocked because I'm doing karaoke in front of Anthony. I figured it would be an easy invite, but it never happened. But anyway, so anyway, the weight loss contest happened. I DM'd Sam. I said, Sam, you know, I have an idea for a new song. I haven't even really laid it down yet. It's not on my SoundCloud. But what if E-Rock loses the contest? I go in the studio and do it live. And he's like, you know what? Send me the song. You know, we'll talk about it. So I send him the song. A week goes by. I don't hear anything. I'm like, oh, crap. He doesn't like it. It was the Lazy Guy song, the Hall & Oates parody.
Oh, okay.
So after a week, he emails me back. Dude, can he come in on Friday? Love the song. Da, da,
what
da,
is
da.
It to the tune of? Private Eyes?
Private Eyes. Yeah. Yeah,
Lazy Guy. I was like, what is that rhyme with?
Exactly.
Right.
So it was going to be for that Friday. And again, this was built up over 8 months. You know, again, you know, all the parody songs were played on the air. Everybody loved them, you know. Everybody...
Yeah, and I want to jump in and bring you to a screeching halt.
Oh, no, that's all right.
No. For those that don't really listen to, or they're mostly podcast people, Opie and Anthony was like the last vestige of national guy talk radio. Like Howard Stern had moved to Sirius. Opie and Anthony were XM. And that was it. It was completely off the airwaves otherwise.
Right.
So it's like, you know, there's What did we determine their actual like daily listenership was?
I don't think they really have a hard number, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But I know they're doing well. There's no question about
like,
it.
Yeah, let's say on the very, very conservative end, it's like, what, 40,000 or 50,000 a day or something?
I would hope more, but you might be
I think
right.
way
you
more. Be, but yeah, right. that's me like
conservative
really
guess.
Lowballing.
Yeah.
So it's awesome that Sean is coming off the streets. He's a big fan. And they're mentioning the dude's name on air. Like, I remember I was dicking around with the Mike O'Mara show after Don and Mike broke up. And one time they had me on a live episode, and they're just like, he looks like Augie from Summer of 42. And I'm like, I understood zero of that reference, but I will play that clip on air. And it was like
no
a five-second throwaway.
Saying.
So this guy's creative work is getting played on this show. Like, it had to be... Like, you probably couldn't, like, walk outside for a week. You're packing such a hard-on.
Oh, I was so excited. And I was driving my wife at the time up a wall because I'd be playing the song for her. And I'd like, hey, listen to this. And then she'd like, oh, it's really funny. Send it in. I was like, nah, I got to tamper with it some more. And then, like, I'd have her listen to it 100 times. Mm-hmm. And by the time I actually was ready to send it in, she hated the song. I hated the song because I would just tamper with it over mm-hmm. and over. But, again, I was really happy that, you know, Opie was loving the songs. You know, Anthony was really loving Pigging Out. If you ever go back and listen to Pigging Out when they aired it, he
Which
loved
one was
it.
That to the
It was actually a parody of a song that Jim brought to the show. It was called Making Out. Remember
the,
that?
Yes. And, the Mad show, or Mad song, right?
And after, yeah, exactly, yes. From the Mad magazine. So that was kind of the one that really broke through. And then next thing you know, again, it was a crazy ride. But again, at the end of the day, though, when I went into the studio, and even leading up to that, I always told E-Rock, any chance I had or said it on the air, like I was on your podcast and I was on another podcast too. And I always try to
cheating
say,
bastard,
I know, I'm sorry. who actually is now defunct. It was,
that's what he gets.
Yeah. It was, and that's another story. Anyway. but I always said this was never an F.
I burnt it down.
This was never an F you to E-Rock. Pardon me. My, putting the letter out there. It was never a screw you. This was always just really my way to kind of be involved with the show. And again, I became a tiny little footnote to the show. But at least they knew my name, you know what I mean?
It's so, more than 99% of the people out there.
For sure.
Get,
and again,
oh, yeah.
with the...
You got the Reddit exposure.
Yeah, everybody loves me on Reddit. Oh, boy. I never go there anymore. But anyway, so when I got on the show, I thought, okay, this is cool. I'm physically, like you said, not many fans get on the show, much less have the opportunity to sing their songs, which is ridiculous.
You got in studio, too. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was dry mouthed, as I probably am now, and I was nervous. My knees were knocking. I had my hands on my... They were making fun of me the whole time. I was just a nervous wreck because, again, I was just in front of, you know, it was the end product of 8 months of work, you know, literally churning out these songs and trying to make them quality and funny and stuff like that. So, got on the show, and then E-Rock, again, this has always been, I wanted to have fun with the show. I didn't want to make anybody feel bad. And I really think at the end of the day, everybody was in on it instead of E-Rock. And I think that's a big reason why after I was done and after I left the studio, they've never mentioned my name again on air.
Like, well,
I still get tweeted, you know, I just got retweeted by Opie, you know, doing stuff. But it's like when I walked out of the studio, it's like I flipped the off switch. It's like, no more Sean F.
I mean,
we were
saying before the show, like, I completely see his point of view. Like, if someone was pointing or making these parody songs of me, I'm not going to sit down and parse the damn lyrics.
Right.
To be like, while he does say I have huge bosoms, I think he's doing it with a smile on his face. I'd be like, he's an ass.
It didn't help.
Keep him the hell out of here.
It didn't help that I was, you know, speaking with Opie on DMs, and I'd say, hey, I'm glad you like that last song. And I still have it on my phone. He said, you know, keep it up. We love it. You know what I mean? And I would have stopped, you know, if they told me to. You know, I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable going to work. Because like you said, I wouldn't want to go to work every day and say, hey, you know, Jim says you have fat boobs. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, screw Jim. But it would have been nice because a few months after that, Sal, who was the associate producer at the time, left the show. And I actually applied, and I believe you did too, John.
Oh, yeah.
You're very deserved as well.
One of 100 XM jobs I never got.
But I'll tell you, you know, I put my resume in, and in my cover letter I mentioned, you know, all the things I did for the show.
Yeah, you're a known commodity. That's why it's weird you didn't get any sort of callback.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 2 years gone now, but I do look back.
So there's still a chance.
No, but I mean, it would have been nice to have been brought in, you know, because I basically got the cover letter back that says, you know, thank you, but no, we appreciate your, you know, it didn't even like, there was no personalization to it, you know, and I felt a little smited there. I was like, you know, I'm not the average person off the street. I did do stuff for the show when I was in the studio. So it would have been nice to maybe get an email or
at least
call.
Put a smiley emoji at the end of the piss
or, or at least brought in just for an interview. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I know it's probably at the end of the day not the decision of Opie, Anthony, Jim. Or it's probably HR at the end of the day. But it just felt kind of weird that it just ended.
I think first round, definitely the decisions of HR.
For sure.
You know, like, they're like the first barrier you have to get by, and they're like, I don't think so. I don't think we should go over that again, because I feel like they had a lot of respect for you. They really liked your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and it was cool. It had its moment, you know.
And you weren't, you know, the Suns were funny, and you were making fun of them, but I don't know, it wasn't malicious.
No, absolutely not. And again, any opportunity I was ever on air, and I, just like today, I don't hate E-Rock. I love them.
I always made that a point.
Yeah, I still love him. I said it on the show to his face. I said, I love you. If you go onto my SoundCloud, one of the first clips is me saying, I love E-Rock. And then he proceeded to smash the $100 gifts I bought him. But so, by the way, I haven't made a penny off of any of these songs. It actually cost me money, you know, to maintain the SoundCloud page and the gifts and just time alone. I'm sure we're up in the thousands of dollars.
Send money.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yes, I have my Indigo website. No, I don't have that. But no, it was just a fun hobby that got me on air. I wish it would have been more, but unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be.
Got you here.
It got me here. Yeah, you guys are great to me on Twitter.
Let's not undersell it.
I still have a lot of Twitter fans. I have over 100,000 plays on SoundCloud, and that's not trying to be braggadocious.
Which is no joke. Yeah.
I mean, and this is from all over the world.
I'm just bummed.
Yeah, we.
I didn't know all the. You know,
it's a lot, 100,000.
And I don't mean.
I didn't realize we'd see the tears of the clown today.
Well, I don't mean 100,000 unique. Hits, but I mean,
that's,
you know, if
fine.
You add up all the plays, which SoundCloud gives you, it gives you the totals, and people from all over the world. I got, like, you know, Zimbabwe and Puerto Rico. It's actually, my songs are reaching places that Sirius can't, because Sirius is only North America. So if anything, I'm still at least pushing the name Opie and Anthony and Jim and E-Rock out there to the world.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, do you want to push it out right now?
I just did.
Do
you want to push it out with a new song right now?
Oh, right. Now, again,
you're in here because...
A preface. This song has never been heard before. This has been sitting on my my Apple computer since July without being touched. And again, this is not a smite to E-Rock. This is just an exclusive to Papa's Basement for everybody that's listening. This is the only time this is going to be played. It's not going to go on my SoundCloud. It's just a fun song. Everybody loves E-Rock. He's not lazy. He's got his own show. He's the operation director.
Yeah, and I like his show, too.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with E-Rock. This is just a fun song that I'm putting out there. Take it away.
I just... You're talking
about... He's like, I'm queued up. Go!
I'm like, no, I'm 90% just, like, honored and just enjoying this moment. And then 10% of me is picturing us on the boat in Carlito's Way. And you're Sean Penn right before he beats that gangster to death. And that's me eyeing my radio career, slipping into the depth.
No, again, this has nothing to do... John, this is...
No, I just... No. John, honestly, all content aside, you do a hell of a parody song. One of these days, we'll get you on to another guy. Not just E-Rock.
I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm in a rut.
You're like Bizarro. You can see only through lead.
True.
Like, you have this one power, but it's a hell of a power.
And let me also preface, this is kind of a rough song. I didn't really do a lot of editing. There are spots I could have put drops in, but I think overall the song kind of holds itself up.
All right, let's get through that. Dead air at the beginning, and we're talking, and we're talking.
Oh, it's going to be...
Here comes the song.
It's a hard start. On the board was the first line.
There you go. And we can keep talking because there's about 30 seconds here. They're not hearing it.
You step on the pie line, though.
Oh, okay.
It was on the board pie.
They can't hear it on the Periscope, unfortunately.
I'm sorry. Everybody on Periscope, this will be on the...
On the podcast, which I'll shove up tomorrow.
And maybe play it without us talking at the end, if you want.
We can do that. Yeah. We can absolutely do that.
Here it comes. WNBC.
Lazy. His work ethic blows. Millions of goldfish pass through his hole. Got it. And he's always late. His screenplay will suck, and he'll never lose weight. Flabby boobs from eating. Food is on his brain. He's calling.
right, we can pot it down.
Oh, boy.
They make me sad. They take me back to
you
when
O&A
was an actual thing. Yeah, you really do have a set of pipes, man.
Unfortunately,
I like it.
There's five other like hidden songs on my Mac, too, that may see light someday, but probably not, you know. This was probably the best of the batch, so thank you for playing that.
Hey, my pleasure, and thanks for coming down. I feel like this was like the first of the posthumous Tupac releases.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, don't worry, they get way worse.
We're trying. But...
whole lot of tapes from the dead man.
I almost kind of felt like it was a full-time job before, because I would go to work, I'd come home, and I would make these songs. But after a while, again, the show moved on, and I stopped getting the DMs, and... it was like, you know what, okay, it had its moment, but I would have loved to have been an associate producer, just behind the scenes, you know, again, not being on air, but I thought I had more to give. But, you know, hey, that's life. You move on.
I'm sure it's like some gig you could get. Like, you're talented. If you have that kind of single-minded focus, the same way with Pete over here, like, the show ends, and Pete just sits there, and he's, like, uploading to YouTube. He's networking. He has this fire inside. Like, the show ends for me. And I'm just like, screw off both of you. I got this level of Zelda to beat. And
I do hit the bar first.
That's true. Okay, you battle the bottle. But that's where no one's perfect. I overeat and I don't have a creative
thing. That's where my creative juices flow.
I just eat and I video game. So I got nothing. You're fine. And same with you, Sean. Like, you have a talent for it. Like, is there any... You know what? Here's a piece of advice I can actually give
you.
Throw up an ad on Craigslist saying you can radio produce and all that junk. You'll probably just get a board op gig out of it, but comb the Philly Craigslist for board op gigs and really whatever, because yeah, it sounds like in your spare time you love this crap, and I love it too, but at least I do the stupid pod instead of, you know.
I smell a three-piece garage band.
I can only hope.
Scrantonicity too.
And you know what's weird though? In a way, as you're absolutely right, I'm sure in Philly there's something, but there was also something about being attached to Opie and Anthony and Opie and Jim. You know, I mean, growing up with Stern and then moving on to those guys and following them into the new era of Opie and Jim, that was where I wanted to be. And I really felt that I could contribute to that show. I had the same, you know, sense of humor. And again, I thought I kind of broke through, but, you know, it didn't break through.
I think you did too. But
To a certain extent. It's like you got to take an at-bat with the Yankees.
Today.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, hey, why don't you try out to be the bat boy for the Cincinnati Mud Dogs?
But don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound bitter, because I'm not. I'm so pleased that everything worked out the way it did.
That's a fun experience. But
It was so fun. And thanks.
Few people can say that they got into that studio.
Thanks to Sam for having me in, and then Opie, who urged me on, and Anthony and Jim. And it was an amazing time. And again, I have nothing but great memories of all that. And I'm glad everybody loves the songs. And, you know, again, please go to SoundCloud. It's still up. Go to Mondo270 on the Twitter, and you'll see the link right to the SoundCloud.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. I'll play an uncut clip of it at the end that I'll also leave at the end of the episode
so you can
cut the audio. No, I insist, sir. You drove down from Philly, for Christ's sake.
That's very nice of you.
Let's do the little outro music. There we are. Well, again, Sean F., thanks, buddy.
Pleasure.
It was really cool to have you swing down.
Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Glad we could wrap up early. Yes, so you can get home by 11:30 and not fall asleep at the wheel. Because
it was worth it.
That would be such a tragic ending.
Oh, God.
That would be like...
He just premiered Lazy Train.
Might get us a bunch of hits.
Exactly, and then you Stevie Ray Vaughan into the side of a mountain. I'd feel bad.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, all right. There's some black humor for you. Also, at Mondo270 on Twitter for this man. I'll also put the Twitter link in there. And set up a PayPal, dude. I'm sure someone wants to give you some money.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks, John. Thanks, Pete.
And at Pete Maybe over here, it's at Pete Maybe.
That's at Pete Maybe. It's really simple.
It all worked out. I'm John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter, in papasbasement.com. Find us on Stitcher. Find us on iTunes. Leave reviews on both if you have to do one, because let's be honest, they're both a pain in the ass. iTunes.
They're not
iTunes
fun, but do it on iTunes.
Yeah, and
then check out the YouTube pages. Whenever we do these shows, we do the Periscopes, and I edit them so that you're going to get the clear audio plus the Periscopes. We do a little bit. If you guys aren't familiar with this, we do a little bit before the show. Sometimes we'll do a little bit after, but you'll get all that content. So just subscribe and check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to do our little outro clip, and then I will play Lazy Train in its entirety so you don't have us chuckling underneath it.
Buckle in, folks.
Oh, God, sorry. I was so close to making it the whole way.
You have a cough button over there?
So much for the professionalism. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Peace.
Till the next one. We're out.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.
On the board!
His work ethic blows. Millions of goldfish pass through his hole. Fatty, and he's always late. His screenplay will suck, and he'll never lose weight. Flabby boobs from eating food is on. Calling out from work on the lazy train. He's calling out from work on the lazy train. Slabos.